Many of you know I'm a proud father, a father of children, three children. Except I was in Bath yesterday buying the wedding dress for one of my children, who's getting married next year. Jack has just turned 21 and yesterday arrived in Thailand, reaching out to men and women who are trafficked into the sex industry. And Rebecca here is in her third year of teaching. So perhaps I should stop calling them children. But it was when they were children that I used to have this real reoccurring problem. You see, if you raise intelligent children with a question in mind, you get problems occasionally. And we had rules in our house, didn't we?
Yep.
We had rules in our house that I would give them. And I would say to them things like, don't drink the Coke from the fridge when Mum and Dad aren't around. Now, the problem is, of course, I had intelligent children. And so I would go to the fridge and the Coke would be gone. Now, I'm not going to tell you who the culprit normally was. But when I confronted him, he would say, but Dad, you and Mum were here. You were in the room next door. Living just by the rule, but not quite. And then, of course, I'd say to the girls, don't hit Jack. If you hit Jack, I could pinch him or hit him. Actually, I was pinching mainly, I would say, but don't pinch Jack. If you pinch him, I can't tell him not to retaliate. And then, of course, you'd know what would happen. There'd be a cry across the house. I'd run in, and the girls would be going, we didn't pinch him, but he hit him. They'd be going in the corner, yeah, but they pushed me. You know, living just by the rules, but not quite. And I don't say that to ridicule my daughter, who's come and rescued me on the computer this morning. But I do that, actually, because if we look at this gospel that I've just read out to you, we see some of that in there, don't we? Here we have John the Baptizer pointing the way to Jesus, gathering people around him, saying, there's Jesus coming. And all they can say is, what should we do then? What should we do then? But it doesn't come from a heart of, what can we do to praise and to love God? What can we do to really show him that we know who he is? It seems to come from a heart of, what's the least we can do? What can we get away with? That's how I read that as I read it. And yet we know John the Baptizer from Matthew's gospel has told them to repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. And today's gospel, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Act as though you are saved. Repentance comes from, I hesitate to say this because there are bigger theologians in the room than I am, but repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to change your mind, to turn away from what you were doing. In psychology, they refer to it as a fundamental and stable change in an individual's life orientation. Or Carl Jung said once, a spontaneous attempt of the psyche to heal itself of unbearable conflict by melting down and becoming reborn. John the Baptizer is saying to know God is to completely think differently to the way you were thinking before. To come to know him is to turn away and think differently. Or as Jesus would later say, to know God is to love God and love people with your whole heart. To change our direction. You might say it's to take the human psyche and spirit and align it with God's spirit. That's repentance. That is healing, isn't it? True healing. And yet, the people turn to John and say, what must we do? What's the least we can do to be known by God? Once again, as mere humans, we miss the point. Just as my children missed the idea of what the rules are about. The rules in the house were about making love and abundant in that home. And they missed the point of the rules. It wasn't to keep the rules. It was to actually understand why they were there. What we were trying to, what my heart for the family was. And here we see humans doing the same with God. To miss his heart for us. To miss what he has for us to do. When he says, live away like this, when Jesus says to live away like this, it's about having a heart of love for us. If you read through this book, you'll see a heart of abundance from God, that we would just love him and others. And then that Philippians reading that was read so well. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Rejoice and let your gentleness be a sign to God. Rejoice in the Lord. Let people see that. You see, our faith isn't a dead faith. Our faith isn't a faith of inaction. Our faith is an action faith, a faith of saying, yes, God is good. Look what he's doing for us. Look how he loves us, even though perhaps we don't deserve it. Our faith is a faith that rejoices. For me, that's the big idea. I've kept this fairly short today because I just want to have a moment of silence in a minute. But the idea is that we rejoice in the Lord, and not in the minimum that he can provide, but in the maximum. He's a great God, a God of power, a God of love, who can provide more than we can possibly imagine. And so as I finish, I say to you, let us seek God's maximum, not his minimum. I sat in this room last week in the congregation with you, and during that time, as Polly led us, I had a word come to mind. I've said it on the notice sheet this week, the word birthing. And I wonder if God is doing two things in this place. You see, we're in Advent, and as we wait for the coming of Jesus, I think God is birthing a new hope in individuals, a new desire to know Jesus. Some of you, for a long time, have been coming, but suddenly there's a new revelation of his love in your heart. I wonder if God is birthing that in you. And if he is, I say continue on that journey. But don't seek the minimum. Rejoice in the maximum. He's a big God. He has more for you. But also, as we seek God corporately right now, as a church, as a community here, we are seeking God, if you remember, in his VIP. We're seeking his vision for Bedhampton. We're seeking his identity for this church. We're seeking his purpose of us in this community. And I think God was saying last Sunday that he is birthing that in us. We stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us, and God is birthing a new vision, a new identity, a new purpose in this place. But as you're praying about that and you're feeding back to me and to the other leaders in the church, let us seek his maximum. Let us rejoice in that. Not seek to get by, not seek his minimum. I want to leave it there. Some of you personally are having a fresh revelation of God right now. I know that in my heart. Carry on. Let's take a moment to be quiet. I'm going to give a moment to be quiet. The kids will be making a little bit of a noise at the back. That's fine. That doesn't stop God talking to you. Let's just be quiet for a minute or two and seek his heart for you.